This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. What a mighty God we serve. He is worthy to be praised. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his words. Sounds like music in my ear. It's the sweetest name on earth. And every last one of us ought to be able to say it emphatically. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? How? Because he first loved us. Tessa Cross. There is
a name I love to sing. I love to sing this word. It sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name on earth.
Come on, everybody, say, oh,
oh. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Why?
Because he first loved me.
Amen, amen. What a mighty God we serve. Our scriptures, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. I want to thank you all for just being here. Thank you again for those who worship with us online. For all of our graduates who are online, we say to you also, congratulations. God bless you. We're grateful for our presentations, and you've seen cameras around today. That's what first look. You'll see a second, you get a look at first look in the future. Amen. We'll talk about that. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Again, Luke chapter 5, verse 4. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Our subject, unfinished business. What do we do? Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, we ask now in a special way that you would speak to us, we your servants, that we your servants might hear, but not just be hearers, that we may be followers of your word to do your will, your way. Speak, Holy Ghost, speak. Use us on this day, God. Thank you for what you've already done, what you're doing right now, and what you will do. Bless us that we can bless others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Unfinished business. When an agenda is set, the president or the head of the organization sets an agenda, such as the call to order, the reading of the previous minutes, committee reports. Then there's old business, new business, and then unfinished business. You get too close in the German, all that. Unfinished business is a common label given to topics of conversation from a previous meeting that were either tabled or left unresolved. This often occurs when someone brings up new business at the end of one meeting, which becomes unfinished business at the next. For example, an employee might suggest a project or activity that requires further debate. So managers decide to put it on the agenda for the next meeting. There are no special orders after the committee report. The next order of business is usually unfinished business and general orders. This is business that was left undecided at the last meeting, or it's business that was delayed at the current meeting by making a motion to postpone to the next meeting. If there's unfinished business, it is placed on the agenda only by the president, only by the leader of the organization. No one can just move to let's have unfinished business. It has to be placed on it. That's significant. Please hear that. But I wonder in our lives, how many of us will confess that there's unfinished business in our lives? There's a song that even helps with that. It says, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. When God gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. I wonder, why pure gold? Why come forth as pure gold? How does that happen? How does gold get pure? I'm glad you asked. Gold is made pure by being in a furnace. Gold is made pure by being heat, by heat being applied to it. Yeah. In other words, for gold to become pure, it has to have so much heat that the dross or the impurity will begin to rise to the top. So the more heat it has, the more dross comes to the top. And then when the dross comes to the top, what's unclean comes to the top, you can then scrape that off the top. Yeah, put that aside. And the gold is now pure. What am I saying? Dross, the impurity rises when the heat is applied. In life, if you're going to become pure, you're going to go through something. Yeah, you're going to go through something. And matter of fact, Jesus lets us know that from the beginning. In John 16:33, Jesus says, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. We all have unfinished business. Think about it. Whatever it is going on in our lives, we're not completed. We're here because God allows us to deal with unfinished business. Congratulations, graduates. Congratulations. You had a graduation. It sounds like because you've graduated, you have finished. Completed your coursework. Completed your test, even taken the final examination. Graduation is the awarding of a diploma to a student by an educational institution, but also can refer to a ceremony that is associated with it. The date of the graduation ceremony is often called graduation day, and the graduation ceremony is also, in my opinion, appropriately called commencement. Commencement means beginning. Wow. Question. Y'all graduated. Y'all can answer this question for me. How do you begin something if you just ended it? Amen. We just finished a revival. What a revival we had. Dr. Kevin Cosby, our revivalist, preached and talked to us. He talked to us about how to live with things you can't change. Woo! How to live with things you can't change. The next night, he talked to us about the power of convictions in a conformist world. And then lastly, the lure of Athens. Don't get pulled away from your God-given purpose in life. Well, my brothers and sisters, we prayed for revival. We admit God sent us a revival. The revival is finished, but yet there's unfinished business. So what do you do? What do you do with unfinished business? When you have done all you can do and it seems like the job is done, seems like the task is over, seems like there's no more that can be done, and yet what you had hoped to accomplish was not done, what do you do? What do you do with unfinished business? Well, I have 3 points. The first one, and we can find in this text that helps us, the first point is we ought to listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Luke 5, 1 through 4 states this. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting in one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked them to put out to a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. No matter what you have been through, no matter what you're going through in life, Jesus knows and Jesus cares. I often say, I don't know how people who don't have a relationship with Christ make it. Because sometimes, even in our lives, we talk about how difficult life is, how hard it is to deal with various things in life. But we know that we have a friend in Jesus. We know we have one who loved us. We know that we love him because he first loved us. We listen to a lot of things. We listen to the news. We listen to social media. We listen to people who we like. We listen to people we don't like or care about. We listen to a lot of things, but it would behoove us to listen to Jesus. You know, listening to Jesus is a little different from just talking to Jesus. Just take time to listen. Take a break. Let him minister to you through his word. As you reflect on his word, what he says about your present situation, what he says about what you have been through, and what he says about what you're going through, take time to allow God to speak to you. Yeah, listen. Listen to Jesus. He may come in a still small voice, but we're so rushed. We so want everything right now. Everything has to be instant. We got to get it now. We got to get an answer now. But just sometimes, even when you talk to him, you need to allow him to talk back to you. In this text, he spoke to the crowd. Said, then he spoke to Simon. Yeah, he spoke to the crowd. Then he took time to speak to Simon. He was on Simon's boat. Don't miss this now. He was on Simon's boat. So that kind of meant, since he was on Simon's boat, and Simon had to move the boat out so Jesus could talk to the crowd, that meant Simon was a little closer to Jesus. I said, Jesus was on his boat, and Simon was closer to Jesus. How close are you to Jesus? Will you let him in your car? Will you let him in your house? Will you let him on your phone? Will you let him in your social media, Instagram, TikTok? How close are you to Jesus? Do you listen to him? And the parts, are you listening? Do you give him private space and private time? Jesus told Simon, listen, when he finished speaking to the people, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. And Simon answered and said, wait a minute, master, we've toiled all night long and took in nothing. We toiled all night long and took in. He listened to Jesus. He heard Jesus, but he responded back to Jesus. Yeah. Well, let's get to the second point. We should not just listen to Jesus, but second point is we should do what Jesus says do. It's one thing to listen. It's another thing to obey. Luke 5:5. And Simon answered, master, we've toiled all night and took nothing. Jesus said, launch it to the deep. Go fish some more. He said, we've done this. We've been there, done that. Tired of this. I've been there. How many times has the Lord told us what we should do? And our response has been, I tried that already. How many times we said back to the Lord, I tried to be kind to them. I tried to forgive them. I tried to give something. I tried to love them. I tried to be patient with them. I tried all this time to do what you're asking me to do. I've tried that before. Lord, it just ain't work. You don't know who you're talking about. I tried it. What's the use? Nothing there. Notice what Simon was saying. Simon said to Jesus, listen, I hear what you're saying. You're telling me to launch into the deep. You need to know, we've been fishing all night long. We caught nothing. We know what's out there. I've been there, done that. I've tried that. We've been fishing all night long, and we didn't catch anything. Now you're saying, go back and fish and launch into the deep? But I love what Peter said. Peter said, but at your word, I will. How many of us can humble ourselves in the midst of unfinished business, in the midst of unfinished endeavors, and say to the Lord, even though I can't see it, even though I think it's a waste of time, even though I think it's a waste of energy, because you said so, Lord, I will. Let's listen to Jesus, but let's also do what he says do. That's what happened at the wedding feast. The wedding feast in Cana. First meal, he went to the wedding feast. He was there with his mother. And as they were there, they ran out of wine. And they're going around scurrying. That was a great embarrassment for the host, a great embarrassment for this whole wedding feast. They are now out of wine. And it came to Jesus, came to Mary. And Mary told the servants, says, whatever he says, do it. In other words, whatever Jesus say, whatever my son say, do it. And he was like, what does God do with me or whatever? But Jesus told the servants, go get water pots, fill them up with water. Now, it's embarrassing enough to run out of wine. But now, how much more embarrassing it is if you're going to try to pour water into people's glasses acting like it's wine? But they followed what Jesus told them to do. They got 6 water pots. Not only did they fill them, the Bible says they filled them to the brim with water. And now Jesus told them, go serve it. Now, I'm telling you, it's something else to just do some of the things Jesus says do. And now when it looks like you might be embarrassed, I might decide, I don't think I want to do that. I don't fill the water pot with water now. It looks like water to me still. I don't know. But what did they do? They obeyed. So they took the water that was in that and began to pour it out. And the guests began to drink what was now wine that had been water. And their testimony was this. Why did you save the best wine for last? Because most of the time they give you the best wine first and the cheap stuff later. They could have chosen to do without. They could have chosen to say, no, we out of wine, we good. That's okay, we good. Don't water pots. But they chose to do what Jesus told them to do. And they were blessed. They had more wine, better wine at the feast. So let's look at what happened when Simon and his co-workers did what Jesus said do. In Luke chapter 5, 6 and 7. And when they had done this, when they had taking their boats back out, like Jesus said do. They enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled their boats so that they began to sink. Listen, they were blessed with so much till they were almost in danger. They took in so many fish that the boat's now beginning to sink. They were blessed from doing what the Lord said do in the midst of saying, I don't see it. I don't see how we're going to do it. I don't see how we're going to get to it. But they followed what the Lord said do. Simon and his co-workers had a catch they had never seen and never would have seen. I'm just saying, in the agenda of life, when handling the unfinished business in your life that's been placed before you, not only must you listen to Jesus, then do what Jesus says do. But lastly, you will worship and follow him. What do you do after listening and doing and receiving what God has for you? It's in our text. You worship and follow Jesus. You begin even more to do his will. Look at Simon and the gang in Luke 5, 8 through 11. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Simon Peter fell down at Jesus' feet and admitted his sinfulness. You do realize that's the beginning of worship. I know when we come into worship into this building, we come as if we've never done anything wrong ever. We come as if we're just better than any and everybody else. Matter of fact, too many of us want to look down on other folk because of what we say or think or we heard that they did that we didn't do. So I'm a little better than them, so I'm coming in here to worship God. God's my God, my creator, my sustainer. But the Bible is clear. All have sinned and come short. And the wages, the paycheck for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You never know what anybody else is going through. You never know how they've gone through life. You never know what happened in their family. You never know what happened on their job. You never know what happened in their situation. You never know what happened as they were growing up. You never know what happened after they've gotten grown. But we know that God knows. And we know that God loves and God cares. No matter what it is in all of our lives, God calls upon us to love him with all we have. And his word clearly tells us not only should we love him, but we should love others as we love ourselves. I like to put it this way. He teaches us that we ought to love others like we want God to love us. Let me say it again. Yeah. He wants us to love others like we want him to love us. We want God to forgive us of all our stuff and forget about it. That's what we want from God. I ain't never messed up. Yeah. Why can't we do that with others? That's what God has equipped us to do. That's what his word teaches us to do. To love. And then we worship him. How do we worship him? We worship him. We worship him because he deserves the worship. He deserves the honor. He deserves the glory. But we realize how sinful we are and have been. When we realize if it wasn't for the grace of God, it could be us. If we realize that God loves and cares for us in spite of what we have done, I wish I could get that message across to every last one of us. Because there's too many folk who say we love God that walk around with guilt and walk around with their heads down and not looking up and not saying, "God, I thank you. God, I love you. God, I trust you. God, I obey you." Because he tells us he'll forgive us of all sin and unrighteousness. He does that for us. He says we are holy and blameless. It's because of what he has done in our lives. Not because we've been so good. Not because we didn't make mistakes. But we come to him knowing who he is. One songwriter says, "Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nisi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace. And I worship you." Woo! Because of who you are. In order to finish the unfinished business in our lives, we must surrender everything to Jesus. We must admit that we've sinned and we've come short. We must admit that I know that I haven't been everything I ought to be. We ought to come before him bare and realize. I like how the old folk in Brunswick, Georgia say, we come as an empty pitcher before a full fountain. We come saying, "Lord, it's none of me but all of you. Lord, come in me. Help me to be what you want me to be." But the only way we could do that is when we say, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Let me know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with your love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred theme. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I know what you asked me on the day. Why should I surrender everything to Jesus? I kind of like the things I'm doing. I like the way I'm doing it. God hadn't struck me down yet. I can keep on doing what I'm doing, the way I'm doing it. I get a chance to get away from home. Now when I graduate, I get to go and be my own boss. I get to do what I want to do. Why should I surrender to God? Why should I surrender to Jesus? Only because he surrendered all for us. Only because he came through 40 and two generations. Only because he went about doing good for you and for me, because he loves us so much. Only because he allowed them to put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head, and on the cross he died. For you, matter of fact, he said in John 19:30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The plan of salvation was finished. But there was now work for us to do. Oh, yes, it was finished. He died. Oh, yes, he died. He did die. Yes, he died for all of our sins. What can wash away our sins? Not because you've been so good. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why we can't look at you funny. You can't look at me funny. We all have sinned. And it all is because of the blood of Jesus that we're made right with God. Woo! All to Jesus. The plan of salvation was finished, but yet there was unfinished business for us. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came. This is after he died and after he rose from the grave with all power. He said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Talking to us now and his disciples. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What has he commanded us? He says, go, listen, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples and teach them to observe all I have commanded you." What has he commanded us? He's commanded us to love. And before he ascended into heaven, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says to us, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth." What a mighty God. We will be his witnesses because the Holy Spirit has come and the Holy Spirit lives in us. Let's finish the work God has called us to do. Let us allow God to move in our lives in such a way that he will get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Let's continue to work as God would have us to work, the way he would have us to work. God loves each and every last one of us. And we need to take time to love each and every last one of us. We need to love like he'd have us to love. Care like he'd have us to care. Give like he'd have us to give. And forgive like he'd have us to forgive. You might be here today and say, "You know, I need the Lord in my life. I need some peace in my life. I need some joy in my life." I want you to know God has it for you. God, no matter what's going on in your life, God has a peace that passes all understanding. He has a joy that's unspeakable joy. All we have to say is, "Lord, I invite you into my life. I will worship you. I will do what you'd have me to do." We know that it's his will that none should perish. It's his will that all should come to repentance. So he uses us to help those who don't know him to come to him. Quit getting upset with people who don't know Jesus because they don't know Jesus. In life, in his life, as unfinished as it is, you're going to meet folk along the way, graduates. You're going to meet folk. But know that God loves you. God will keep you and protect you. And know that he loves others. And move in such a way that your love for God will shine in your love for others. If you're here today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're online, I want you to know also, you can give your life to Christ. I'm going to pray a prayer with you. The prayer I pray with you is one that you can receive God into your life. It's a prayer that says to the Lord, I've sinned, I'm sorry for my sins, I want to turn from my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. It's a prayer that lets us know what Romans 10:19, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised from the dead, you shall be saved. I want you to know, if you'd like to join and be a part of First African, we are a Bible-believing church. I want you to know that we're a church that loves God. And listen, we've been doing our part every first Sunday to baptize folk who had not had a relationship with God, but coming to know God. We're going to continue that, my brothers and sisters. We're going to continue to share a living word with a dying world. Pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ on today. Those who are watching, those in the building. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I'm willing to tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're online, we ask you to go ahead and type the word saved. We'll respond back to you. We thank God for you on today. We thank God for everyone here. If you come and you made a decision on today, and you're in this building, you'd like to unite in fellowship with First African Baptist Church. As we stand, won't you come? We're grateful for those who are, again, who are online, who are worshiping with us today. Thank all of you for coming to share and to worship on today. Again, we say congratulations to all of our graduates, those who are here. God bless you. Thank God for you. We're praying for you. We're praying for you to continue on in life to do those things God would have you to do. To all of our recipients, we say God bless you. Let us pray. God, we love you. We adore you. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship you today in spirit and in truth. God, have your way in all of our lives. As we continue with the unfinished business in life, help us to trust you with all of our hearts, lean not to our own understanding, and all of our ways to acknowledge you so you can direct our paths. Now guide us, keep us, strengthen us, use us, God, even as we leave this place, but never your presence. Now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen and praise God. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.